Okay. Our topic today is the Sugya of Demai. Demai was a huge Sugya with tons and tons of information in Shito. I tried to cover as much as possible on the actual Shito cheat. Obviously, during Chazara's year, our goal will be to try to provide the basic mahalach in the Sugya and like the structure, but our goal won't be to cover everything we discussed in Shir because it really was a lot. And there's certain things I think were even important that we discussed in Shir. I'm not going to reference here because I don't want to sort of distract from the main mahalach. So for example, like Tarobet's Chametz discussion, which was a parallel to what we were talking about, I'm not going to really address that here, even though we did spend some time on it in Shir, because I think that sort of will distract from the mahalach we're trying to build. So the Gemara, okay, so the overall question we're trying to address in the Sugya, which is what is the nature of the prohibition of Achilas Demai? And to do that, to analyze this topic, I want to break up this Chazara's Shir into five different sections. The first is how Demai comes up in our Gemara, and, let's do four sections. And then also provide some general background to the Sugya of Demai. Section number two is what is the nature of the prohibition of Demai? We're going to discuss the nature of the prohibition. Three is what are some nafkamino? And four is the Shitas HaRambam. So if you take a look at the Gemara in Chulin on Hey Amud Bet, the Gemara relates an incident where Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan were observed eating meat that was produced by the Shechita of Akuti. So Rav Zera raises the question, how could it be possible that they were in violation of a prohibition? Is it possible that they were? So Rabbi Zera says no. Why? Because Hashem Hendon Shul Sadikim Ina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Al Yadan Sadikim Atzman Lo Kol Shekein. So there's this principle of Hendon Shul Sadikim, which we'll address a little bit later. But at a basic level, it means that Sadikim can't possibly sin in this area, and therefore it must be that they didn't sin. So there, whatever they provide an explanation for it in terms of whether or not they accepted the Gezerah at that point. There the Gemara presents this principle. Later on, the Gemara goes back to this principle on Vav Amud Aleph. And here, it discusses a case of Rav Asi, where apparently he ate Tarovas Demai. And so the question is, Rav Asi, how could you have eaten Tarovas Demai? Rav Zera again contemplated whether this is possible. And he said that it's impossible. Why? Because of Henten Shel Tzadikim. And he proves from a case in the Gemara that really Tarovas Demai is Moser Bachila, and doesn't fall under the prohibition of eating Demai. So we use this as a springboard or opportunity to discuss the general nature of Demai, and we'll address Tarovas Demai as one of the nafkamino later on. Just in terms of a little bit of a general background to Demai, so in order to understand it, you need to look at the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Ched Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara presents a ruling of Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol. We'll just read this Gemara together quickly. So, Gazer al Demai. Why was he Gozer al Demai? Lefisha Shalach b'chol Gvul Yisrael v'ra'a she'im afrishin ela Truma Gedola b'vad. He saw that they were only mafrish Truma Gedola, not Maiser Rishon, not Maiser Sheni. And so then he says, what is it? So, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Miksasan Me'asrin, and Miksasan in Me'asrin. So, he has this line that he saw that some were in Me'aser and some were Maiser. Now, later on, we'll get back to this, but it sounds like from this Rambam, sorry, from the Gemara here, that like we don't really know exactly how, like, what does this mean, miksasa and miksasa? Does that mean like 50-50? Does that mean like 80-20? We don't really know exactly what the numbers are. So that's important, but we'll address that later. So he says, so therefore, okay, I'll pair us with Amar, it's Mafreshman, Maiser Rishon, or Maiser Sheni. Maiser Rishon, you're mafresh the Trumo Maiser, and you give it to Kohen. And Maiser Sheni, you bring to your Yerushalayim. But anything that's a Mosi Yechver Alav Haraya, like Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani, you don't have to give. Fine. So we see here a couple things, right? One is certainly it's not a Din D'Oraisa. Second of all, there's like this, some people did, some people didn't do, and that's why he needed to make the Gezerah. There's, in other contexts, one example is Ksuvo Stav Chaf Da'alad Amun Aleph, though, the Gemara provides further information, which is that Rov Amei Aretz Ma'asrin. So here it's really a Mi'ah. Most people do give Ma'aser, but a Mi'ah of Amei Aretz do not provide Ma'aser. So we have this, that A, it's a Derabanan. It's based off of a suffix, whether or not they gave Ma'aser. And here it sounds like most Amei Aretz do give Ma'aser. Fine. Now I want to address the nature of the prohibition of demai. So here, I'm going to try to evaluate this as sort of three different perspectives on what the nature of the prohibition might be. We'll sort of treat the first two kind of together during the Chazar Shir, but I think just to point it out that there kind of might be two conceptually different options. So the first option is to really view it. So of course, this is based off of a suffix tevel. So the first option is to say that, yes, for some reason we are more, we do say that we're going to worry about this suffix of tevel and we're going to make a gezira on it. But since it's just a suffix, you know, we're going to be pretty makel. So basically it's a suffix of tevel and it's like a very weak chafsa shel iser because it's like, it's only a suffix of tevel. And whereas generally we wouldn't abide by such a suffix. A stronger version, this is the second option of a chefs of like a chefsa shel iser approach would be that yes, you know, it's only a miyad, and yes, you know, really in general we wouldn't follow it. But the fact that the chachamim said we're going to have a gezerah on this miyad, and we're going to be choshesh here, that reflects that we take demai really seriously, and it's a very significant chefsa shel iser. Yeah, it's a suffix shel tevel, but the fact that we see the chum took it very seriously, really it's a strong chafsa shel iser. That's a little bit challenging because, you know, it does remain suffix shel tevel. So it's a little challenging, but this is an approach that I guess is a stronger chafsa shel iser. And there are Rishonim which seem to indicate like this.
What does it mean a more significant or less significant chafsa shel iser?
So basically what we're trying to say was there's like real chafsa shel isers, and then we could try to play it down as like a a suffix shel tevel, a suffix tevel. So my point I'm trying to make is like for example, just to show my hand with regard to like when Tosos talks about in Behemoth Shel Tzadikim, he talks about it in the context of like other machalos asuros. There, it sounds like we're not just going to treat it as like, oh, it's a suffix shel tevel. We're treating it very seriously as a chafsa shel iser. So my point is like there are those where like we're really going to play it down as a suffix shel tevel. I think that's like one option, and the other option would be to really take it very seriously, like what Tosfos sounds like there. But really, we're going to treat this as a suffix shel tevel chafsa shel iser. The first two we're going to try to treat mostly together. But Rosh, like at the beginning of the shiurim, kind of talked about it that way. A little bit. He presented it that way. If you take a look back,
Ram, can I ask a question quickly? But if it's a suffix tevel, then it's a suffix doraita. So why would you treat it like as a weak suffix?
As a miut also.
So that's a second suffix, or that's a, or just
it's no. Now it's just another factor to say that this is a really weak suffix shel tevel. Yeah, that's a good point. Right? It is always going to revolve around the doraita. But I'll add that. Clearly, we take tevel very seriously. Like the whole notion that we're going to, like we didn't play this up as much in Shir, but just the concept that we're going to have a demai to take tevel so seriously in the case of Mia just says a lot about what about tevel more broadly. Okay, now the third option, which is clearly our preferred approach in the sugya, is that there's a chovas hafrasha, and that chovas hafrasha leads to an iser achilas gavra. Once the chachamim make a gezerah on it. We, even though it was nitkana ala safek, we say they're nitkana ala safek, but now there's actually, they made it into a chovas agabra. They made, you have a chovas hafrasha. It's not that we're looking at the cheftas, oh, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We transform this into an obligation a person has to be mafresh, mafresh demai. With that being said, we're always going to remain with a nitkana ala safek. We're not going to totally, like, you can't totally disregard its origin story, Rosenzweig said. And therefore, like, there might be times where we refer back to, you know, the suffix, and the, you know, originally. And so we're not going to totally disregard that. But primarily we're viewing this as a chovas hafrasha, and that's what Chachamim made the gzera into. The advantage of saying it's a gavra issue, not a chefsa issue, is that it explains a lot of discrepancies in the Gemaras. And they're showing about sometimes we treat it in a more chamor way, and sometimes we treat it in a more makel way, demai. And the question is, like, if you put it as like a strong chafsa shel iser, let's say, so why would there be all these discrepancies? But if you understand it, like, in terms of chafsa shel iser issues, it's totally fine because it's a chovas afresha. Then we could be makel in those contexts, but another context will be more machmir because it's not just a suffik, it's a real chovas takanas vadai. So then we can understand how there might be the ability to, in some cases, say to be machmir, in some cases to be makel. Fine. So those are the three perspectives. We're going to try to we're going to really treat the first two pretty similarly going forward. Okay, good. So now let's get into some nafka minot between these different perspectives. Let's say there are, we'll go through 10 nafka minot, although some of these nafka minot also have like subsections. So it's really being, I think, more like 12. Okay. The first nafka minot is behemtan shel tzadikin. So the Gemara there talks about this case of taroves demai. And if you have to ask the question, what is the nature of this klal behemtan shel tzadikin? So the Ramban has two approaches, which you could take a look at in terms of tzadik, not going to be machshel others and such. But the approach that we focused on in this context was Tosfos. The Tosfos says, why in a behemtan shel tzadikin yekar shebaruch hu mehevi takal al yadan? Because when it comes to yisuri achila, which is the context of behemtan shel tzadikin, we're not going to allow a tam chacham to make the mistake of eating it. And the reason for that being, Tosfos says, this is Tosfos on Hey Amabez, because Sheganai hu letzadik sheochal davar iser. There's some ganai to a tzadik if he eats davar iser. This is in contrast to cases like Achila b'Yom HaKippurim and other things where clearly there, Kodem Havdalah. So there it's clearly, it's a din in the Gavra. There's no such thing. The chefsa of the food is not a problem. It says you are prohibited from eating during that time. Like Yom Kippur, the food itself isn't a problem. It says you're prohibited from eating on Yom Kippur. Fine. The Netziv takes us a step further, and the Netziv says it's like Matam Temes Halev. So here we see it's like a really intense, like the food, like this demai, it's not just some stuff. We take it very seriously as a chefsa shel iser. Now, Rav Rosenzweig there already challenged this approach, because if you view it as a it was nitkan al it originally was a chefsa of shel iser and nitkan al safik, but if you really look at demai as a takanas vadai, then it makes much less sense to be talking about this mitam temes halev. If it's a gavra issue, it's not really the chefsa of food. But we see here that depending on how you view demai, that may or may not impact how you view the concept of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe behemtan shel tzadikim. Okay, so that was one nafkamina, right? In terms of how that plays out in the sugya of how you view demai. A second let's say one, that was one A. Let's say one B was this interesting debate. They don't debate explicitly, but there's sort of this parallel issue between the Marsha and the Asfun de Araisa. So the Asfun de Araisa basically argues that clearly demai can't just be a suffix, because if it was just a suffix, then why can't we say, oh, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu galia, that it's mutter? Right? If it's mutter, so then, yeah, we can get it. We don't have to say pentan sol tzadikim. There's no problem here. Why don't we would just say that? So therefore, he says clearly it's a din vadai, this concept of demai, and therefore it wouldn't be kapi shemai galia that's not relevant to us because it's its own din vadai. So that was the Aswan de Oraisa. The sort of parallel opposite shita, which doesn't take as much of a stand about the vadai suffix thing as much, was the Marsha on Zion Amud Bet. I mean Vav Amud Bet. Talks about how like God, like even if it was klapei shemaya galia, that it was tevel, it doesn't really matter because it's all about the facts on the ground. But it's all about the facts on the ground, and like it's a suffix. We don't it's not a vadai like in shemayim, and that explains that's in context of a specific case there. But I think like more importantly is the Asun Doraisa's point that this idea that really demai is a type of vadai. Okay, so that's like a second.
The Shita Megabesis is like this Marsha too, right? They have the same Shita here.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. Yeah, I think the Shita Mukhubetsa, that was the primary source. And then the Marsha, I think, chimes in the Shita Mukhubetsa. Yeah, my apologies. Yeah, thank you for that clarification. Okay, good. The second nafka mina is, there's an important concept in Demai that machlina sa'ani vesach sanya Demai. The fact that machlina sa'ani vesach sanya Demai is very surprising if you view it as a chafta shaliser. For example, if I view, let's say, pork. So just because that would be nice to give Aniyam and Achsanya some food, I'm not going to say you can give them pork. So if you view it as a Chafsa Shel Isser, then you have a real problem, because how can you give Demai, if it's real Chafsa Shel Isser, to Aniyam and to an Achsanya? Therefore, the Rav and others argued that clearly this reflects that it's not a Chafsa Shel Isser. Really, it's just an Isser Gavra to eat the food, and it's just a Chovas Hafrasha. I think that's a really good proof, but that's pshat of like what this din means. The Gemara is going to reference it a whole bunch of times. Machlina saniyim, vesachsanya, demai. So that's sort of pshat and very important. But let's say you wanted to retain this idea that maybe it's a chafshus l'isser. How do you address this Gemara? So there are a few options. One option is just to say that there's a debate in the Mishnah about this issue. Namely, Beis Shammai says that we don't abide by this din of Machlinas Aniyim Vesach Sanya Demai. If that's the case, then maybe you could say Beis Shammai is holding it's a Chafsa Shel Isser. That's one way of addressing it. But let's say, you know, if we're abiding by Beis Hillel, there are a few options. One option is the Rush. I think this is Aleph Dalet in Demai. The Rush says that by Zimun, we don't allow, let's say, a regular Stam guy to lead the Zimun on Demai, but we would, but only an Ani would be allowed to Mezamnin Alav for if they eat Demai. Now, that's very interesting, because why do you have this different standard? So Rutzai suggested that maybe we can derive from this Rush that we're not talking about, for the Ani, whether there's an exception, but that's the exception to the rule. The rule is that it's a Chafta Shel Isser, and so if you or I were to eat this, then we wouldn't, you know, assuming we're not aniyim, if we were to eat it, then it'd be a chafta shel iser, and that's why we wouldn't be able to mizan in a love, like more generally about a chafta shel iser issues. So that's one way of addressing it, saying that yeah, maybe for aniyim it's not a chafta shel iser, but really otherwise it retains its identity as chafta shel iser. The Rambam in the Perashat Mishnayos also brings up a possibility that maybe you could give it to the ani, but you really, the ani maybe should be mafresh it first. It's not saying that like he can just eat it without being mafresh it. So there's also ways to start playing around with that too, and saying this doesn't mean that really they shouldn't be mafresh it. Maybe it's just giving it to them. You don't have to be mafresh it, but they have their own responsibilities, or there's an ideal to do that as well. So the more we start playing down the machilas aniyim vesasanya demai, the more we can try to argue that it's still a chafta shel iser. But I think, by and large, this principle of Machlinas Aniyim Vesach Sanya Demai reflects that it's more of a Gavra issue than a Chefsa issue. Okay, that was the second, say, Nafka Mina or impacted issue. The third Nafka Mina is the Din of Taroves Demai. We mentioned how it comes up in the Gemara. But the question is, so in the Gemara, in the end, we're Mekil. But the question is, is this really a Kula? So what do I mean by this? Basically, the Gemara, when it suggests that Tarovas Demai would be Usser, what case is that talking about? So if it's a case where, it's, you know, in standard cases, it would be nullified, that it's Pachos Mishishim. So then the Havamina would be that we'd be more Machmir. And the Maskana is that we're going to treat it as if it's a regular a regular case of Taroves. But if you view the original Havamina of Taroves Demai, it was about a case where it wasn't Mevutal, and the Maskana is that, yeah, even in a case where there wasn't Bittel, when it wasn't Mevutal, and we would be Machmer, the maskana of the Gemara then is a chiddush that we're not even as machmir by demai as we are by regular cases. So the point is that if you view it as a case where there was bittul already and we would still be machmir in the havamina, the havamina is that we would be machmir, then that's a chiddush, and the maskana is that we just treat it regularly. If you view the havamina as saying, oh, by taroves demai, we would treat it like any other case of taroves where you need bittul v'shishim, and the maskana is that you don't even need that, then that reflects that the chiddush is really in the maskana of the Gemara. Just to put some to insert the shitot here, so the Rambam we argued was saying that originally we're talking about a case of where it's not where it is mevutal already. But in the Hava Mina and the Maskana that it just abides by the regular rules. The point there being is that if you say that there's a Hava Mina that you'd be more machmir by demai than you would be a regular Taroves cases, we see it's not abiding by the regular Chesed Shel Iser rules. Instead, we can argue that this is a case of Takanas Vadai. It's a Chovas Hafrasha. So in terms of Chesed Shel Iser, okay, maybe be nullified. But if we view it as a chovas hafrasha, then you might say you still have an obligation to give this. Okay, whatever, rules of chetzah shel iser, put that aside in tarobeth. You have an obligation to be mafresh demai. That's tekanas vadai, and maybe that would skirt the regular rules of chetzah shel iser and tarobeth. That's a very surprising havamina. Rashi and the Meiri, on the other hand, think that the Gemara is talking is actually being more makil here in the end than a standard case. And there we could say... either that really this is still also more makel because it's a chovas hafrasha, or it could also be it's like a chefse shel iser issue and it's a safek chefse shel iser. It's very weak and therefore we might be more makel by demai than other cases. But for the Rambam, this is a strong reflection of maybe it being a takanas vadai because we'd be more machmir here. Good. So that's the third nafkamina. Okay. Good. No, we're good? Awesome. Fine. A fourth nafkamina is demai as a paradigm for other isure achila midirabanan. The Mordechai, though I don't have the number, but the Mordechai says that basically you can learn out for pas akum that a tarovis of pas akum is mutter. You can derive that from the fact that tarovis demai is mutter. He says that if Tarovas Demai, which is a Ke'in de Oraisa, we say this, then of course we're going to say it for a Derabanan of Pas Akum. Now, we mentioned that there's a couple issues with that approach. First of all, we don't necessarily say that Demai is a de Oraisa, Safek de Oraisa issue. Really, we think Demai might be a Takanas Vadai, and that's entirely Derabanan. We forget the de Oraisa point, really. It's just about... A derabanan issue of chamin making a gezira. The second point is that demai also, as we've discussed, it might be a totally different iser than a regular chafzah shel iser. For example, right, if we argue that it's a takanas vadai, it's just a chovas hafrasha, then that might be different than other cases where it's really a derabanan chafzah shel iser, and so therefore it wouldn't be able to serve as an appropriate paradigm for those other cases. So according to, a simple way of putting it would be that the Mordechai is assuming that it's more of like, hey, all these cases are like a chafzah shel iser things, and so you can derive one from the other. And Rav Rosenzweig was pushing back, saying that maybe you couldn't say that because demai is not really about a deraisa, so it's not a good kal vachomer. And second of all, if demai is a different nature, then you can't derive one from the other. I'll add that it could be, though, that you still would be able to derive other isurim from Taroves Demai, but those would have to also abide by Takanas Vadai, meaning if those cases also follow this irregular nature that it's about Chovas, Chovas Afrash, it's a din in the Gavra, then maybe like if Pas Akum was that too, then we could also hold, we could also say you could derive one from the other. But that's just, sort of an aside. Good. So, yeah.
So I just a little unclear. It's sad to say that it's a chovas hafrasha. Would that mean we're more makel by taroves or or more Machmer by Torvis? Because it seems like that's the way we wanted to explain the Rambam, but here we're saying that we can't use the Kula by Demai as a paradigm for...
So first of all, that's a very good point. That in some cases, it sounds like we're saying, oh, the Hava Mina would be... Okay, I'll put it this way. Yes, yeah, so there, in terms of the Chovas HaFrasha, there was a Hava Mina that would be more Machmer there. The point is that the more like there are exceptions to the general rules of like Chavs Shal Isser, the more surprising, the more it likely leads to it's a Chovas HaFrasha, it's a Gavra issue. Now, you're saying here, in this case, we're trying to say that you'd be... Why in this case are you saying that you'd be more Mekel?
Well, I guess if you want to be mechalik, we want to say you can't learn out pasakum from demai, because demai, there might be the only reason it might be mutter by tarovis is because it has a special status of chovas hafrasha. So yeah. I guess that doesn't necessarily mean we're but,
right. It's not like mekos is different,
right? Okay, fine.
That's all right. I don't think it's more mekos here. It's different, but it's true that in some contests we're going to be more mekos by demai. In some contests we're going to be more chamor because you can't. Whenever it's a chafs shel iser issue, it's not relevant to us. Fine, good. There's another part of this discussion, though, which is there's the Rashba and Ra'ah have talking about bishul akum, whether like let's say the pots would be a problem of bishul akum. So the point of bishul akum, right, is mishum chasnos. You're worried about chasnos with the non-Jews. So in case of like a pot, then like that's not, you're not eating with them, so shouldn't that not be a problem? So the Ra'ah thinks it's not a problem because there are differences between different types of Darabanan. Some are, you know, let's say Mishum Chatnos, so therefore in those some cases we'd be able to distinguish, and some aren't, and just maybe just like classic Chafshei Shal Isser issues, and like the context doesn't matter. I'm not saying there are holds necessarily that this is like a Takanas Vada or anything. Just making the point that he distinguishes between different cases Derabanan. The Rashba though is like Chad v'chalak, that when you have Yisrael Derabanan, like there's no changing standards. It's all ends up one and the same. So I think the point here was that like how much can you distinguish between different types of Yisrael Derabanan, and how much you could like, you know, let one be a paradigm for the other. And so like if we're talking about demise Derabanan, does it fall into like the same exact standards as all other cases of Derabanan? So I think that's the context we brought up the Rashba and Ra'ah, just to sort of highlight this point of like how much can different types of Yisrei Achila Derabanan serve as paradigms for other cases. Okay, but I think that was more of a side point. Fine. The fifth Nafkamina is the issue of Shemen Arev. The Rush, so in our Gemara, we have this question of whether Tarovas Demai is aser ba'achila, and there's a chovas hafrasha. So our Gemara has to bring a whole case of to explain why we know for sure that there's no problem of tarovas demai. But the Rush, cited by Rabbi Akiva Eger in our Gemara as well, and the Rush in demai raises the question of there's a case of shemen arev where that case is a tarovas demai. So why can't, and it's mutter, so why can't we just derive from here in demai that tarovas demai is mutter? That's the question of the Rush. So he says that maybe there's a difference and we can't derive from there because by shemen arev ikar l'mashicha, it's an issue of sicha, it's not a question of achila. You're not eating this stuff, it's just to put on your body. Therefore, he says, maybe we can't derive one case from the other. That's the Rush's answer. But the Tosfos Yontov asks a question, says that we have this principle of sicha kishtia. So you can't distinguish between eating and sicha because we have this concept. And therefore the Rush's answer doesn't really make sense. So he says that, I think what he argues is that it's just that achila is more chamor, and that's maybe why you can't derive one from the other. But Rav Rosenzweig said that you can give a different answer to the Tosfos Yontov's question. And that is, if you understand what Sicha Kishtia is about, then you understand why it wouldn't be a problem by Demai. So Sicha Kishtia more broadly, and this is a concept developed by the Griz and the Rav, is that when we're relating to the Chafsa Shel Iser, Sicha Kishtia will apply, whereas if relating to just a Gavra issue, then Sicha Kishtia will not be relevant. So what's an example of Sicha Kishtia being a problem? So for example, by Truma of a Kohen, for a Kohen. So if you eat the Truma, you violate the prohibition. And also if you do Sicha with the Truma, you also violate the prohibition. But here the point is that when we're talking about treating the item disrespectfully, you're not using it for the purpose it's supposed to be. So whatever way you consume that item or you use it in like the inappropriate fashion, that's going to violate the prohibition of achilas truma. But if okay, so that's what there, if we're referring to the chefsa. But if we're referring to a gavra in that issue, then we're not going to apply sicha kishtia, because there's just it's dafka a din in achila. Anointing yourself is not a din in achila, is obviously not a din in achila. Therefore, you could argue against the Tosos Yontov of Rosenzweig said that sicha kishtia here is not a relevant principle, because by demai, where it's a chovas hafrasha, it's not a question of chafsa shel iser. If it's a chovas hafrasha, then sicha kishtia doesn't apply. So the question is irrelevant. But if you view it as chafsa shel iser, then maybe the Tosos Yontov's question is relevant. But that's how you could be docha the Tosos Yontov's question, if you view it as a chovas hafrasha, din vada in the gavra, not about chafsa shel iser. Good. Okay. Six nafkamina, and here there are going to be two parts, is the issue of sfeik sfeika. So the Maloa Roim in the back of the Gemara here raises a question about why don't we have a case of sfeik sfeika in our Gemara? It's not vava mebet. So he says that the case in our Gemara where we prove Taravas Demai from is, so he says, if the woman was Yichlifa, you have a suffix of whether the person was Yichlifa with Demai. So he says, Mikol Makom Safeki Shemalo Yichlifa. And also you have a suffix whether or not, this is actually Tevel, right? Because if Demai is a suffix, whether or not it was Tevel or he was ready Musar. So here you have a Sveik Sveika. One, whether or not she was Yichlifa. And two, whether or not it was already taken meiser from it. So it's sveik sveika, we should be the kula. Why isn't this case a kula? So he gives his own answer. He says it's kar of levadai shemichal lefes. It's not really a suffix there. Whatever, that's the Malar Roim's answer. But we said that the premise of the Malar Roim is questionable, because if we view demai as a chovas hafrasha, it's a din in the gavra. That's not the point. If we view it as a takanas vadai, right? The point is that yeah, there's a suffix where but that's not what we care about anymore. The chum made it into a chovas hafrasha for and there's a din vadai, then you can't really treat it as a suffix anymore. So if it's a suffix chafsa shel iser, the Malar Roim's premise is totally tenable. But if it's not a chafsa shel iser, it's a takanas vadai of a chovas hafrasha, then the Malar Roim's question may not get off the ground. Later, we'll address another answer to Malar Roim's question relating to Ne'amanus. But that's another nafkamina in terms of whether you could ask this question about Sveik Sveika. Another context where Sveik Sveika arises is by Mole Chitin La'ama Aretz. So there, the case is Mole Chitin La'akum. Right, so the Rambam in Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel, and Maaser, I believe, the Rambam says that if you're molechitin to a nachri, we're going to be worried about it being demai. So the Ravid says, how could you say that? Because you have a suffix whether or not the nachri is going to be machlif your food with the Ama Aretz, where that's one. And two, you don't even know, maybe the Ama Aretz's food is already Musar. So how do you know that we have, how do you know that there's an issue? Right, if the Ama Aretz is already Musar. So that would be a case of Sveik Sveika. So that's the Ravid's question on the Rambam. The answer the Ravid gives is that really we're not talking about the Amma Aretz's food. We're talking about the Peros HaNachri, which is a Vade Yisra Derabanan, and that removes one of the Sfeikos. That's Ravid's answer. But, and I think the Mari Korkis says this as well, but if we view it as, we're not talking about it in terms of a Suffolk anymore. We've removed from the Suffolk Chafshashal Yisra, Suffolk Tevel discussion. We're talking about it now as a din, independent din of Chovas HaFrasha of the Gavra. It's a din Vadai. Then the Ravid's question is irrelevant because it's not a Sfeik Sfeika anymore. It's not. There's no Suffolk of whether Musa or not. That's not our point. Our point is it's a din Vadai of Chovas HaFrasha for Demai. The Kesef Mishnah there has an interesting discussion.
I'm sorry, can you just say who that Shita was again?
The Mari Korkis apparently says that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mom is getting a sunburn right now. So we'll continue to move quickly. My Polish roots are not built for the sun. So this is, trying to hang in there. All right. The Kesef Mishnah has an interesting discussion there about why Sfeik Sfeika maybe doesn't matter here. Because he says that we're Choshesh L'miyot in, we see we're Choshesh L'miyot originally, right? Because Rov Ami Ha'aretz Ma'asrin. So by Sfeik Sfeika, okay, fine. Even though it's really only a miyot, we're still going to be Choshesh for it. Because we're Choshesh L'miyot. The problem with that is that that's assuming a certain premise about what the nature of Sfeik Sfeika is. If it's just a din of like a super, robe and like a really small miyot. But if you view Sfeik Sfeika as there's ain leidus hasafek, then the point is it's not like, oh, we're choshesh miyot here. There's no miyot. There's no leidus hasafek at all. So, but that's really a rove issue. That's not really a rove Sfeik Sfeika issue. That's not really, I don't think that's specifically related to Demai. Fine. Then, a seventh nafkamina is, so that was like 6a and 6b. Seventh nafkamina is the Mishnah on Demai says, gives like a whole list of cases of things we're allowed to do, with Demai. Mafrishin Arim, Mafrishin, Ben Shmashos, Ma'arvin, all these different cases. That's Demai Aleph Dalid. So in general, and here we're going to really relate to like how Machinas Aniyim, Ibai Mafkil Nechse is going to come later on. But I just wanted to give this as one example here in the Nafkami note. But in terms of Bina Shmasho, so this whole idea of like Ibai Mafkil Nechse and Aniyim is like not relevant. That's not really what we're talking about. So it's like, oh, now you're able to eat it. Like that's not really the point. I think everyone was arguing. So I think the point he was trying to make, maybe someone could help clarify this. I think the point he was trying to make was the fact that Bina Shmashos is like grouped in with these other cases, which are predicated upon like Machinas Aniyim V'Sasanya Demai, Bar Machilin Nichse, shows that Machilin Esaniyim is not just like a practical point of like, I could make myself into an Ani. The point here is it's a reflection that it's not a Chafzah Shal Isser, it's a gavra issue, and therefore then like the standard issues of like of standard chefza issues that apply for like a takanas chefza on like bina shmashos wouldn't apply. I think that was his point. Ellie, do you have a better hold of that point?
I'm looking at it right now. I'll chime in if I see something different.
Okay, fine. But I think the point there was like it's not like such a clear like ani matkil nichse issue, but you could say that like if the ani is a more fundamental point, then it's still relevant. That's kind of the point we're trying to make. I think like the immediate question is like that Mishnah groups a whole bunch of cases together which seem different. So maybe this is a way of like kind of connecting all them together. If you think of like giving to the ani as like a more conceptual point rather than a practical one. Fine. Anybody have any additional clarity on that point? Eitan, what about you?
I think that's pretty much what I got. Like, is machilin aniyim lasanya? Is that just another nafkamino that you show that it's not a chetz chalisser, or is that actually like the goreim for many other for other dinim?
So, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, try to adjust my position here a little bit. Okay. Fine. The eighth nafkamina is this shalom and a mukaf issue. I don't really want to get into specifically the details, but just the yavits in that context on Zayin Amud Aleph relates to mafresh shalom and a mukaf, like basically taking from like the immediate area you're in, and like chaverim don't do such a thing. I don't want to get so into that issue. But there in that context, he talks about chal shel demai as being a suffix shel Torah. And therefore, as a chal shel demai is like a suffix shel Torah, and we're makil there. Then, in the case of a derabanan there by yerek, then like why would you even have this like havamina if you would say it's usher or problematic if like we know midoraisa it's fine and the suffix doraisa it's fine. So Rosenzweig's point was that like you could just totally undermine the Ravid's question, the Yavitz's question, if you say that it's not a Safik Shel Torah, it's not what Demai is about, it's not a Safik Tevel, it's just independent, Takanas Vadei V'chovas Afrasha. If that's the case, then the Yavitz's question there falls apart about Shalom and Mukaf, because Chalas Demai is not a Safik D'Oraisa, it's a Din D'Rabanan. Fine. That was the 8th Nafkamina. 9th Nafkamina is, so I'm like way oversimplifying this nafka mina because it relates to a much bigger issue between Abaye and Rava. So I'm way oversimplifying this, but I think the point sort of still stands. You'll be the jury on that. But the 9th nafka mina is about a bracha on demai. So in general, there's a whole question of brachos on suffik, derabanans. Fine. That's like a general issue. Everyone holds the maisa that you don't make a bracha on demai. That's like the sort of the paradigmatic case that always comes up. Now, the Ramban within Rava suggests that in Shabbos Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, that like maybe there would have been, I'm going to say Havamina, it's not exactly that, but basically like the address is that like maybe there would be a bracha because it's the Takanas Vadai like Chanukah. Now, he says, "Kimitzah shel devrayim dam." Yeah. So there, and then in the end, whatever. So he has his answer that this is why Rava needs to remind you that it's a miyut, and therefore, like, we're not going to have a bracha anyways. And everyone said, I wanted to tinker with the Ramban. But my point is that, like, for the Ramban, the notion that there's this havamina, that there's a bracha, and that's based on kimitzah shel devrayim dam. Yeah. It's a takanas vadai. That's very telling. For the Ramban, right? The Ramban doesn't view this as like a Safek Chafshish. This is a, no, it's not a Safek Tevel anymore. It becomes a Din, Derabanan, a Takanas Vada. I think that might be the strongest formulation just in terms of like viewing and not as like a Safek Tevel. It's become a Takanas Derabanan. Like, I think that's the best formulation. Yeah. I'd say that's probably the best formulation for that approach. And for, let's say, the like strong chassidish iser approach, we would say, like, I think it's probably the best one would be like Tosfos and Nitziv for those two. Okay, now final nafkamina, a little bit of a weaker one, but we'll mention it because we mentioned it last year. I thought it was interesting. So, what does demai actually mean? So this is the 10th nafkamina. So we said so for the Rambam and the Aruch. The Mai basically means like mazeh, I believe. And that's like basically a suffix. So that works well if you think of it as like a suffix chafsa shel iser, suffix tevel. But the Aruch also says that it might be like, it might mean choshesh. And that might work well with like more if you think of it's an issue in Ne'amanos. And that we're going to get to later on. But the point is, I think that like, if you view demai, like what it actually literally means is just about suffix, that works better for the suffix, tevel, weak chafsa shel iser approach, rather than the Takanas Vadei Chovas Afrasha of the Gavra. Okay? Good? Awesome. Fine, so those are our 10 Nafkaminas. Just to briefly mention them all again, right? So we talked about Behenten Shel Tzadikim and the two sub-issues within that context. Machinas Anim Asachsanya Demai. We talked about Tarovas Demai. Demai with other Isurei Achila Midirabanan, whether you can derive laws from Demai. Shem and Arev, two instances of Sveik Seika issues, Bein Hashmashos, Shalom and Amukaf, Bracha and Demai, and names. Good. Now I want to address Shita Sarambam. So in other sugya with the Shita Sarambam, we sort of had like a really, set mahalach on it. Here we didn't. as much. We sort of presented a Mahalachane, and then we kind of backtracked a little bit. So I'll say what, like, sort of, I think, like, the, let's say, like, the Mahalach is, and then sort of what, like, this other issue that came up in the Rambam that might either undermine it or might be a separate point. I think people have different understandings of what Rav Ronsheim meant by it, but just to put that out there. Okay. So here in the Gemara, in a bunch of cases, the Gemara, so like by Esrog, by issues of Muksa, by Erevin, by Brachos, by Chametz, by Matzah of Demai, the Gemara says the reason why you can use it or employ that Demai for all these different cases is because and because that's the case, so like then if ibay mafkle nechse, then since that's the case, ibay mafkle nechse, then we can say that in all these cases he can make a bracha on it, he can give him an arvin with it, he can use it as an etrog, all these different cases where it comes up. Then he's allowed to use it, or it's not muksa or whatever, because this point of ibay mafkele nechse. Now what's interesting is that the Rambam, in most of these contexts, says the nesha roi la niyim point, but doesn't say this like ibay mafkele nechse. Now, what is this? What does this tell us? So, just to give a few examples, I put this on the Shito sheet, like I think pretty well. So, I don't need to read so many examples here. So, just take a look there. Also, I apologize for not mentioning as many of the numbers for the Makoro. So, I apologize for that. On the Shito sheet, though, it has all of this. So, the Rambam in a few places, instead of saying that it's Ibay Mafkele Nechse, just mentions the Royal Aniyim point. So just to give a couple examples. So the Gemara in Erevin talks about Arvin B'Demai. It says Lamed Aleph Amin Aleph in Erevin. And the Gemara says, Migo di Ibay Mafkele Nechse v'have Ani. And since he can Mafkele Nechse become an Ani, there, and then it would be Chazule here too, Hashanami Chazule. And therefore he can use it as an Erev. And then they reference the Gemara of Mafkele Aniyim D'Mai v'Sach Sanya D'Mai. The Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, says, "Devar also the chol kagon teva, afilu teva so devar sofrim, ema arvin v'shtafin behem, aval ma arvin v'shtafin b'demai b'meisha ra'oi la'aniyim." But what doesn't the Rambam quote? Yibayi ma'afka lehu l'nesei v'hava ani. So the Rambam doesn't relate to that at all. I'll just mention in this context, Tosos, I think, agrees conceptually with the Rambam about all these, about all the cases we're about to mention. But like in every case, you always have to wonder, one, the general principle of how you view Demai, and also the local requirements in all these cases. So Tosos, like, broadly speaking, agrees with the Rambam. It's just in some cases he'll like have the like parallel approach, but sort of like just have like a different understanding of the local requirements. So you'll see what I mean in a second.
Just one place where Tosos definitely disagrees with the Rambam is because on Esrog and Sukkah, Tosos wants to say it's not important to buy Mifker, but that's like the one that the Rambam says
Right? There, you're right that the Tosos disagrees with the Rambam about whether you need to buy Mafker who in that context. But the point is that that's just in terms of your local understanding of that case. That's not saying that conceptually Tosos thinks that like Demai is not a Takanas Vadai type of issue. So I don't think that that's necessarily true for that you could have a rebuttal. I mean, that's a local debate between Shai agrees with me. Good. Other context. So the Rambam says if you eat demai afbi she'ina rari el aniyim, then you're mavari tchil v'sof. The Gemara there says ibay makhlu nechse as well, and in muksa. He also says this. I think that's Shabbos Kochavav. Yeah, I think Shabbos Kochavav, he references it. But he only says Nesha Ra'ilaniyim. But he leaves out this, he leaves out Mafkele Nechse. the Rambam also in Chametz also just entirely leaves it out, although Rav Zaka noted that he alludes to it, but he doesn't reference this principle of Machnas Anim Asasanya Demai. He says, Zakal Kolshim Varchal and Berchas Amazon, Yosei De Chavaso, the Kolshim Varchal and Berchas Amazon, Yosei De Chavaso. So that's clearly a reference to Demai for the Rambam, but the point is the Rambam doesn't even mention this Machnas Anim, and he doesn't mention Demai explicitly. So that's intriguing, right? What exactly is the Rambam doing there? And finally, there is a case, which Shai referenced just a moment ago, that the Rambam does say Mafgil Nichzei. So the Rambam in Sukkah does mention it. He says, She'efkar she'yafgir nechasa v'yeh ani. Shemotu le'echol demai. And that's why you can use the etrog of demai. Okay? So what exactly is going on with the Rambam Shita here, right? One place he says yes, one place, three other places he does. One place he does reference it, three he doesn't. So we argued that the Rambam's general approach, and which Tosfos by and large also agrees with, is that the nature of Demai is that it's a problem with, it's a Chovas HaFrasha, it's an Isra Achilas Gavra, it's not a Chepsa Shel Isra issue. Now how does this reflect itself? So for the Rambam, Machinas Anim Demai is not, the point there is not that, we can make it into a not a Chafsa Shal Isser. Because if we Mafgil Nichzei, it's not a Chafsa Shal Isser anymore, right? So the point isn't that. The point of Machinas Anim Demai reflects it's a Chovas HaFrasha. It's just it's a Chovas HaGavra. It's not this Chafsa Shal Isser. And if that's the case, then it's removed from all those categories and we can be Makil by it. This sort of, just in general, right, we noted earlier how, like, it, you know, some cases will be more machmir, some cases will be more mekel, so, like, these are contexts where we're more mekel. But the point is that for the Rambam, Machinas Anim Demai is a conceptual point. It's not just a practical one that you can get around the Chafshas Shel Isser issues. The point more is that it just reflects, like the Rav mentioned, or like we mentioned earlier in the name of the Rav, that that Demai is really a Gavra problem. And therefore, like, you can use it, obviously, for all these cases because, like, it's just a Gavra issue. Now, what do we do with the thing in Chametz? So the Rambam there thought that, like, Chametz all the Chametz stuff is a little complicated, but basically the Rambam there thought, like, maybe Chametz is actually the one that least needs Mafgil Nechzei and least needs Machinas Anim Demai point. So he doesn't even mention it explicitly. Everyone's saying, like, there, like, he definitely abides by this principle. He just plays it down. He plays it down so much because it's the Chametz issues. Ironically, Tosfos there thinks that, like, you know, this is a big issue because of Lechem Oni. I don't want to get so into Tosfos now there, but the point is there. This is like a more extreme version of what we're trying to say. Like the Rambam there doesn't even need to mention it because it's like not a Ibar Mafle Nosei issue at all. But what does the Rambam do about Hilchos Etrog Shel Demai? So there we argued that that for the Rambam, there's a special din of lachem by etrog, and there it's like it has to be more than just like it's not a iser chefza shall iser chos, like you really need it to be yours, and therefore like you have to make it like mafgir, you have to have the ability to mafgir and nechse, which should make it like entirely yours, and that helps out with the lachem issue. But that's like a local, I mean, any of these cases. You have to address like the general point of Demai, what's general nature, and then also like the specific dinim of those cases. So here's like a local din in Etrog. It's not a reflection of the broader principle of Demai so much. So that's why you sort of explain away the issue in Sukkah. Parenthetically, as Shai mentioned earlier, Tosos there actually thinks that like that's the case where you don't even need Ibai Makhle Lenechsei. Like Tosos is sort of the opposite, because he says that like, Mishum Yeshua Hatrachila La'ani Kamoli Israel. So it's Hatrachila La'ani, just like by Truma, you know, Kohen, and since they're for a Kohen, then like Israel in certain contexts. So here also, since an Ani can eat it, then we don't even need a Bar Machla Nechsei at all. So it's just ironic that Tosos agrees conceptually, but like in this case, like he's going the opposite direction. And he also does this by Brachos as well, although he agrees with the Rambam about Erevin. Fine. Good. So that was the point about the Rambam that I wanted to make. With that being said, where we talked, I think a very important point, good. So I think a very important point within the Rambam and this approach about Takanas Vada and Chomes HaFrasha doesn't mean that like we could ignore the Safek Tevel origins. This was an important point. It doesn't mean that like, you know, the original, it is like originally it was a Safek Shel Tevel. And like, yeah, then like we, you know, got going based off of that. But you can't like ignore that history. So what's an example of this? So here, I wanted to insert this somewhere. And so I decided to put it here and do it through the following illustration. The Mishnah at the beginning of Demai talks about a Kalan Sheba Demai. And those cases of Kalan Sheba Demai, you don't have to be mafresh on them. Now, the question is why? So the Rush there had, let's see if I have this. I hope I have this. The Rush there. Anybody have the Rush offhand? Oh, here you go. Sorry, I have it. Shekilu chamim al peres halalu shelo la'asrim demai. Kun chaver lokeach reyaf l'shidi shelo asrim. So the lo chashivi lo nashidu ala. They're so irrelevant and insignificant that like we're not going to worry about chovas afrasha on them. Okay, that's like the Rush's point. Nothing so significant there. But the Rambam there references sveik sveika, right? It says it's trace sveika l'hakili. So, fine. So it says, so the Rambam says that there's two sfeikos lahakel. One is if they're hefker or not. Very often these things are hefker. So if that's the case, that's a suffix. And second of all, it's not like things that people normally grow. They're like weird forms of vegetation. And the other one is that demai is a suffix. So that's a problem, right, for the Rambam. Because how can the Rambam say it's a suffix? We don't view demai as a suffix. I thought we just said. We view demai as a takanas vadai. It's a chovas hafrasha. So, how could you say it's a suffix? So one of the possibilities that the Rambam was like, and then even in the Yah, the Rambam doesn't mention sveik sveika. He mentions like she'in ches kasol achila. So is the Rambam chayzer here? What's going on in the Rambam? How could you say the Rambam's conceptual perspective stims in the parish of Mishnayos and in what we've seen from the Mishnah Torah that it's a din of a chovas afrasha takanas vadai? So I think Rabbi Akiva Eger says this as well, but this is what Rabbi Rosenzweig says, is that we see in this context like a sort of a manifestation of this point that like you can't ignore the origin story entirely. Like it does come from Safek Tevel. And so the point is that you need to have like definitely had Tevel at some point, and then we can get into this whole issue of like it becomes a Chovas HaFrasha. Like for example, in the case of let's say like Shema Hechlifa. So if, yes, there's a suffix that maybe she was a machlif. And yes, there's a suffix whether or not whether it was Musa or not. But was there Tevel originally? Was there definitively Tevel originally? Yes. So then we can go into this whole, suffix shel Tevel, let's move on and go on. And then we'll eventually get to Chovas HaFrasha. But in this case, since if it grew up in Demai, since if it grew up as Hefker, there's no definitive suffix shel Tevel really there. Because there was no guaranteed Tevel there originally. I mean, you can't argue necessarily that there was Tevel. By Amma Aretz, there was Tevel. And now the question is afterwards, whether or not he was Demusar, he did Meiser on it, fine. But there was Tevel, right? Because this is, Demai is, the origins are a definitive suffix on Tevel. But once in that case, there's no definitive suffix. You can't even get started here about Demai. Then you get throw in sveik sveika issues. Because there's a suffix about like whether this is even like Tevel at all. And then you can run into sveik sveika issues. So I think that's, it's a hard chelik to make. And especially because the Rambam in the Yad doesn't say sveik sveika. But I think his point was that like you can still say chovas afrasha takanas vadai if you account for this idea that like the origin story is that it has to be on a case of real suffix Tevel. Ellie, what do you think? Ellie Goldberg, good? Good, awesome. Ellie Hyman, what do you think? Good, also. Okay, good. Fine. Yeah. Then I just want to mention in this context, we're not going to go through all the cases, or we're not going to go through really any of the cases, but the Abaye and Rava in like a bunch of places in Shas, basically, in some cases by Demai, they'll say Rov, and some cases they'll say like, they'll say, oh, because it's a suffix. Like they'll each say one of them. And so, but in other places, like they'll do the other thing. Like one of them will say Rov and the other one will say suffix. So like, so the problem is like, is this a question of Metzios? Like how could they be arguing about this thing? So so I think the point we were trying to make by and Rava is that the question isn't like whether or not it's like, it could still be like a Takanas Vada. It could still be like Chovas HaFrasha or something like that. The point is that you could have these different, like it's just a question of application. Like conceptually and fundamentally, Abaye and Rava agree, but it's just a question of application. Like what case is suffig? What cases like do we say Rov? That like, and so that's why by Abaye and Rava. And like the idea here was, and this is what I was trying to say about like the origin story, it's like you can't ignore the history. So you're always gonna have some elements of like suffig in there. You can't ignore the history. And so like, even if you go with like a Chovas HaFrasha, Takanas Vadai, even if you go with that, you can't ignore the fact that it originally comes from like the Safik Shel Tevel. So if that's the case, then like you could question what, when to apply what, and that's what Abaye and Rava disagree about, but that doesn't contradict this approach that it's not just about, it could be sometimes Safik, sometimes Rov, okay? That's the point of Abaye and Rava. All the details of those cases are like, obviously important, but that was just the Mahalach there. So I just wanted to make sure to get that point in, and I think this is the context I decided to do it in. Fine. Now we get to the point that I don't really understand so well. So I'll make that as a disclaimer. I've talked to a few people about it. We raised this issue of within the Rambam that, okay, so we had a nice mahalach in the Rambam. I call Shari Rekayim, great. And then we ran into another problem maybe, which is that the Rambam seems to be saying something else in a few places. And that's namely that the Rambam brings up this issue of Ne'amanus in a couple of contexts. So the Rambam, for example, we read the Gemara in Sota earlier, right? We read that Gemara. The Rambam basically gives the history, the background to Demai in Maaser Tet Aleph. It says, Amei Aris Perasein Safik, Ve'in Ne'amanin. And they don't have Ne'amanus. So the Rambam adds that in. Now, why, like, meaning the point is, like, the Rambam could, like, quote a Gemara, and then fine, he's just quoting a Gemara. But when the Rambam adds something in, that clearly reflects something important. The Rambam adding in Ve'in Ne'amanin seems to make this an issue of Ne'amanus. We don't trust the Amei Aris. Like, same way, like, we don't, you know, there's like, Eidecha Ne'aman Bisurin. Like, we don't give them Eidecha Ne'aman here. We don't trust the Amei Aris. And that makes it more into like a Ne'amanus issue. And that's not the only place the Rambam does this. The Rambam, Maaser Yud Aleph, says that Makabel Alav Lios Ne'aman Ala Maisros. Rambam also brings in like this case of Ne'aman Ala Maisros, like Amar who Makabel to be Ne'aman. Again, why is Rambam bringing Ne'amanus? And one other place, which I thought I wrote down, Mafrishit. Was the other place Tet Dalid maybe? Is that possible? Where the Rambam makes it brings it up? Anybody know where?
Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. You're saying?
Yeah. Is that possible? Yud Gimel Yud Dalet says suffix there also. I tried to write this down. Sorry. Here. Yeah. Let's see if I could. 1 second. So and Dalet. Yeah. Oh. So here. Sorry. So I think the point was that the Rambam also emphasizes suffix in a couple places too. So the Rambam in Tet Dalet of Maaser mentions Kesham Rishim Yadamai Shemus Maaser Maaser Sheni Im Barachalal Fisha Hu Suffix. The Rambam also Megillah V'Chanukah when he talks about like Brachos on Suffix Darabanan Gimel Hey, he also says there that Darashim Yadavrein Ikrus Yisrael Mipnei Suffix to go in Maaser Demai. So he talks about like Suffix Demai is like the prime example of that. So Rambam talks about Ne'amanus, so Rambam talks about Suffix. So what do we say about it? Okay, fine. Does anyone have the Maaser Yud Gimel Yud Dalet by chance? Let's see, I'll pull it up.
I think I have.
Yeah.
He says, Eilu Dvarim Shelo Gazer Aleihem Mishal Shegazer Al Adamai. And then he says, Kol Eilu B'Torim. Kevan She'amar Lo La'am Aretz Mitukanim Him Enot Tzarech La'aser. I'm not sure where he is getting the name on it. Maybe it's from that last line.
To say, I didn't write down your Gemara Dal. Does someone know the Diuk there?
I think Rebbe originally suggested that and then said, no, it wasn't that. It was because someone suggested that and he read it and he said, no, it's not that. And then he went back and said it was Tet Dalet in Maser.
No, I think it is that last line. V'chemin she'amar lo Am Ha'aretz mitukanim heim eino tzarech la'aser. That it's tale on the fact that the Am Ha'aretz is telling him that it's mitukan.
And that's a good question now. Manas, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember seeing something like that. So, okay. I don't think that's as clear, but I guess the point is, yeah, if Amar says it and it's issue of Na'amanus now, then it's fine. The Mishnah Lamelech also has like a long deal of different types of these issues, and then like how Na'amanus comes up if he like said to him explicitly. So I won't get into that, but I just wanted to raise it. Like here, it seems to be that Rambam has this other idea of like Na'amanus being the issue in Dubai. So there's sort of two different ways I think we could have understood this approach in Rambam. One thing Josh suggested to me, Kaufman, was that you could just say halachu dekai by halachu dekai, right? I mean, like the point is that yeah, like by demai originally, like the problem is ne'amanus. That's why like they had to make demai, and then therefore what we did afterwards is we made a takana, a takanas vadai of a chovas afresha after that point. Like so, meaning you could say like yeah, that's like why demai originally is issue of ne'amanus, and then the Rambam, and then afterwards you could talk about it as like a chovas afresha din vadai. You could make that argument that they're separate, but admittedly it seemed like in Shir that everyone's like saying that like, we have to be like a little hesitant about the Rambam's approach to like the chovas afresha din vadai from like the ibay mafilu nixe, because like it does seem to be also this like ne'amanus approach in the Rambam as well. So I think like, when we think about Shitas HaRambam, I think we were trying to say like either like we also have to note that there's this trend in the Rambam, and maybe that could just Hailechudekai to nice trends in the Rambam. They don't, one doesn't undermine the other, but also it could be that the Rambam is sort of undermining himself a little bit with this whole Ne'amanus issue. I think that's all I wanted to say. I guess I already closed on Melora Rome, so I won't go into that. But I think the Melora Rome brings up issues of like Ne'amanus as well, or maybe one answer to like raise the Melora Rome is that if both cases are issues of Ne'amanus, so whether or not we trust her Shem Hichlifa or not, and if Demai is about Ne'amanus. So maybe one answer we can say about not being Sfeik Seika is like Kulachada Sfeika here. It's all one issue. It's all an issue of Ne'amanus. I think that was like a practical way of applying like this Ne'amanus principle. So say like, yeah, like Ne'amanus is like sort of one and the same, like Demai, Shem Yechlifa, and whether or not Shem Usar, like those are both issues of Ne'amanus. And therefore, you don't say it's a Sfeik Seika for the Melora Rome. It's a challenge to the Melora Rome because it's really all one thing. Eitan, you're giving me a quizzical look.
I remember him saying that, and also it explains why Kalin Shibbet Demai is totally different din, because it's not Ne'amanus if it was Hefker.
Ah, very good. Ah, so that's also another way of explaining the Sfeik Seika. Thank you for bringing that up, right? So then that's another option for how to explain the Sfeik Seika problem. Yeah, meaning the Rambam, once we assume that it's not a Chovas HaFresh Din Vada, and we start talking about it as like this din Ne'amanus, then like you Kalin Shibbet Demai, like you kind of, the whole Ne'amanus thing is sort of irrelevant, and that's why we'd be Mako there. It's a good point, Shai. Okay, good. All right, I think that's basically it. Shkoyach, guys. And if anyone has any questions about this or other sugya, I'm happy to discuss if you'd like. And if anyone asks, I'm gonna try to post this recording soon. So the guys from out of town who asked to get it, I'll try to upload it for them pretty quickly. Okay, Shkoyach, everyone.
Avram, can I ask you two questions?
Thank you.
Shkoyach.